Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the Tabernacle, Camping with God, based on Stephen Olford's book. In this session, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, Camping with God. God called a camping trip once in the wilderness. The Tabernacle was an object lesson to the children of Israel for nearly 500 years, from Moses to David. And then it was replaced with the temple during Solomon's rule. It had been gone for a long time. It's been gone for a long time, but continues to teach us. And this session is the introduction for this series, essentially. These sessions are going to be a little longer than my normal daily devotional series sessions because of the volume of content for this series. But this session is the introduction, and it covers three things. First of all, the setting of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." And then if you drop down to verse 8, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." The Israelites had become a redeemed people. God couldn't dwell with his people until crossing the Red Sea. Redemption was necessary first. He visited Adam in the garden. He appeared to the patriarchs, but there was no sanctuary until there was redemption. Sheltered under the blood of the Lamb, brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and saved and then set apart for himself. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. "The Lord spoke to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." And then verse 20. "And the Lord said to Moses, Rise up, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and then say to him, Thus says the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." The Lord's people are saved to serve him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 makes that clear. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we're saved to serve. The setting of the tabernacle, where was it? Not in Egypt, not in Canaan, but in the wilderness. Egypt was a land of idolatry, a type of the world. Canaan was a land of promise, a type of a kingdom. The tabernacle was for pilgrims in the desert. Egypt was behind, Canaan is ahead. Ours is also a pilgrim life, moving toward heaven. The tent was always pitched on the sand with no floor, a constant reminder of the journey. They had not reached the destination. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were pleading through you, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." See, we're here as ambassadors, which means we're from somewhere else. We're from God's kingdom. We're from, our citizenship is in heaven, and we come to earth as ambassadors, as witnesses, as representatives of Jesus Christ, calling people to be reconciled to a right relationship with God. Then second, there's the symbolism of the tabernacle. one book dedicated to its structure and symbolism. Beware of extremes, though. Those who see little significance in the symbolism, and those who distort Scripture by overinterpreting. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. At the start, two concerns are at issue. The materials and the measures. The materials. What were the materials? Metals, color, fabrics, wood, oil, spices, stones. Exodus 25, verses 3 through 7. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold, silver, and bronze. Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Fine linen and goat's hair. Ram skins dyed red. Badger skins and acacia wood. Oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplates. Most biblical interpreters come to these conclusions. Most pretty much do. Metals. Gold is the deity of Jesus Christ. Silver pictures redemption. And brass is a type of Christ's death. The colors. Blue is the heavenly color. Purple is royalty. And scarlet, sacrifice. The fabrics. Fine linen speaks of righteousness. Goat's hair, service. Ram skins dyed red is devotion. And badger skins, holiness. Wood. The only wood used was acacia, which represents the incorruptibility of Christ's humanity. Oil. Olive oil was a type of presence of the Holy Spirit. Anointing, essentially. Spices, well, they speak of the fragrance of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And stones. Precious stones symbolize the value of believers to God in Christ. And then there's the measures. Take a quick glance, just a quick glance, not to overdo this, but a quick glance at biblical numerology. The number 3, it represents abundant testimony, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, of the tabernacle and temple, the court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Gold, silver, brass, blood, water, oil, blue, purple, scarlet. Even the sacrifices were of the herd, the flock, and the fowls. So abundant testimony in the number 3. The number 4, universal or worldwide. 4 winds, 4 corners of the earth, 4 coverings of the tabernacle, 4 square brazen altar, 4 horns of the altar, 4 pillars of the hanging gate, and 4 spices. The number 5, human responsibility and grace. Multiples of the number 5 intensify its meaning. For example, it's stamped on our human frame with 5 fingers, which represents work. 5 toes, our walk. 5 senses, our perception. And the grace of God, provision, forgiveness. The number 7 is divine perfection. Man, which is the number 6, and God, which is the number 1, is 7. Man with God. 7 golden candlesticks. 7 pieces of furniture in the tabernacle forming a cross. 12 the number of administration, 12 months of nature, a cycle, 12 tribes of Israel, the government, 12 loaves of showbread, support, 12 precious stones on the priest's breastplate, representing his people in his presence. The number 40, the full measure of man's responsibility toward God and man. 5 times 2 times 4. 40 days of testing of Christ. 40 days of probation of Israel. 40 years of probation of Israel. And then third, the significance of the tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. It's a picture. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. The tabernacle signifies spiritual realities, shadows, patterns, figures. The reality is revealed in Christ. How significant? Well, listen, 50 chapters in the Old Testament and New Testament are devoted to it, its construction, its rituals, and the priesthood, the meaning of them all. 13 in Exodus, 18 in Leviticus, 13 in Numbers, 2 in Deuteronomy, 4 in Hebrews. The whole story of creation takes 2 chapters. The significance of the tabernacle's ministry, Christ, Savior. Every detail points to his person and work. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Luke 24, verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The church, a mystery hidden in all ages, revealed only in the New Testament. And yet, Ephesians 2:22 speaks of exactly what the tabernacle was, worship and witness. In whom you also are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And then the Christian. The tabernacle is a type of the believer, the dwelling place of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Christian, body, soul, and spirit. The whole ministry of the believer is seen. The body is the outer court, the visible part, the place of sacrifice and cleansing. The soul is the holy place, the part which touches others, worship and fellowship, eating, serving, praying. And the spirit is the most holy place, the secret part, the hidden life, personal communion and victory. The significance of the tabernacle's message, it's twofold. God's appearance to man in grace, and man's approach to God in faith. God begins construction with the ark and ends with the brazen altar, his appearance. But man starts at the brazen altar and makes his way to the Ark of God approach. The gospel message, God takes the initiative by his grace, and man responds to God in faith. The plan of salvation is seen in the very layout of the tabernacle. Introduction at the gate of the outer court, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the way, gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Reconciliation with the brazen altar. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Then separation by cleansing of the laver. John chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but it's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The illumination of the golden candlestick. John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Satisfaction at the table of showbread. John 6:35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Intercession through the altar of incense. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And then the communion at the Ark of the Covenant. 1 John 1, 3. That which you have seen, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you, where are you? Outside the gate? Unsaved? Are you in the courtyard? A babe in Christ? Are you in the holy place, growing and serving? Or are you in the Holy of Holies? Intimate, holy fellowship. Let me encourage you to keep moving in your Christian pilgrimage. And you have a great day.